Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. What a sweet spirit that's in this place. Amen. I just feel such a liberty. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. Amen. A spirit of giving is in this place. Amen. There's something special about when we offer up a sacrifice of praise and we offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And today I'm just grateful. Does anyone feel that? Amen. I'm just grateful. His mercy is forever. It's renewed every morning. And I'm thankful today for his blessings. I'm thankful for his touch. I'm thankful for his mercy. You could never outgive God. I know that's a cliche that we say, but it's true. You can never do more for God than God will do for you. He will bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God I serve. Amen. I don't have to worry if he won't protect me or take care of me. I don't have to fear. Amen. As we heard this morning, amen, because I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can we just lift our hands just one more time and just magnify him? Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. There is no God like, there is no one like you. Oh, we love you this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. What an honor it is to be here today. What a privilege it is to worship. Amen. With you. I just, from the moment, amen, I walked into the door. Thank you, my brother, for that word this morning. What a tremendous job. And then the music team and everything. It's been so great. We thank you, Brother Arthur, for allowing us to come. And also, more than just that, he has been a tremendous help in helping us. As you know, he's the Global Missions Director for the state of Indiana, and he has helped us on a couple of occasions to get services. And we want to say thank you for that, brother. We appreciate that. It's not an easy job. Nobody likes that job if you've done it for a while. And I appreciate your sacrifice. I appreciate what you do for missionaries and for people from all around the world. I would imagine this church has had its fair share of missionaries, considering. And so thank you for being willing to give outside of your local church. That means something. It's a lot easier to say, we're just going to focus here on us, but to have a missionary to be willing to invest in the kingdom of God in other places of the world. Amen. That's something special. Amen. You may never see the direct results of your giving, of what you do, amen, for the kingdom of God outside of this local assembly. But I promise you, amen, God is doing some great things around the world. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, that it's going to be every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation. There's going to be people from all different colors and nationalities and languages. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Amen. When we get to heaven, amen, and see all of the different people and backgrounds and situations. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to live for the Lord. Amen. And it's just going to get better. Amen. Don't you understand that that's what happens when you live for the Lord? It just gets better and better and better. The way of sin is it gets worse and worse and worse, leading to death. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are missionaries to two nations. We are very blessed and kind of a unique situation. We are missionaries to the nation of Spain. I'm sure you've heard of Spain. Spain's a great place. And God is moving in tremendous ways in the nation of Spain. And we're just glad to be a part of it. Brother Billy Cole once said, someone asked him about going to different places and seeing great revival. And he just said, I just go where God's going to pour out a spirit. I didn't really have anything to do with it. I just pray, God, just let me go where you're going to do your work. And that's kind of how I feel today. God's been doing tremendous things in the nation of Spain, and we're just glad just to be a part of it. And of course, we're also missionaries to the nation of Andorra, a small nation, a tiny nation in between France and Spain. We've never had a United Pentecostal Church in that nation. And so we got the opportunity. There's some contacts that we had made through the work of the Lord, just kind of leading and directing and guiding. And we were able to move from Madrid. We were aimers in Madrid and became associate missionaries in the nation of Andorra. And God opened the doors for us to start the first United Pentecostal Church in the nation of Andorra. And we're very excited about that. We were able to baptize the first person ever in the nation in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have a video presentation to show. And on the video, we show where we're baptizing the first person ever, amen, in the nation of Andorra in the name of Jesus. And that's something special. And I know that there are many more who are going to be baptized in Jesus' name. There are many more who will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Just a quick story. There was a lady by the name of Dole. She works for the Filipino consulate. Her name is Dolores. They call her Dole for short. And when we laid hands on her one day, I remember my dad came. My dad's a pastor of a church, and he came to visit us for Thanksgiving, and he preached. And of course, when he preached, he did a great job, and the Spirit moved. And I remember when we laid hands on Dole, she began to speak in other tongues, and she speaks 8 languages, and or I could be wrong, somewhere 7 or 8. She speaks a bunch. Amen. But when she started speaking in tongues, this was a language she had not learned before. Amen. This was something that was miraculous. And she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, as this lady goes and she touches her lips as if, is this real? This is what I've been praying for. This is what I've been searching for. Amen. And so there are many Sister Dolls out there, amen, that are hungry, and all it takes is someone just to spend a little time with them and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says, amen. Can I help explain it to you? Can I pray with you? And that's what we're excited about, going back and continuing the work in the nation of Andorra and Spain. If that video is ready, we're going to show that, amen, and if you'll do that. Thank you so much.
Place we had not yet heard of when God called us into missions, but a place that was on his heart. A beautiful people who love life and nature, but know little of its creator. A people that need to be awakened from spiritual darkness and brought into his marvelous light.
We began our missionary appointment as aimers in the nation of Spain. We were privileged to pastor an English-speaking church in the capital city of Madrid. We saw God move in mighty ways as we were able to preach to people from many different nations from around the world.
We are happy to report to you that there is a strong and growing church in the nation of Spain. In 2019, 966 souls were baptized in the name of Jesus, and 860 were filled with the Spirit. There is a great harvest happening, and we are thankful to be a part of it.
In 2015, the United Pentecostal Church of Spain had 47 churches. Missionary Nathan Herod cast the vision to double the churches by the end of 2020. As of December of 2019, we now have 82 churches in the nation of Spain. We believe that with the help of the Lord, we will reach our goal by the end of the year.
We caught the vision of our leadership to see new churches planted. We learned of a small neighboring nation that had never had a truth-preaching church within its borders. God began to deal with our hearts, and he opened the doors for us to move and plant the first Oneness Apostolic Church in the nation of Andorra.
The Principality of Andorra is unique because it's the 16th smallest country in the world. It's nestled between Spain and France in the heart of the Pyrenees Mountains. The official language is Catalan, but Spanish is also widely spoken. Catholicism is the main religion of the nation.
Due to its ski resorts and duty-free shopping, over 10 million people visit every year. And because of Andorra's thriving economy, people move from all over the globe to find work there.
Andorrans have become a minority in their own country, making up only about 33% of the population. We have seen that diversity in our services, with not only Andorran visitors, but people from the Philippines, Brazil, Portugal, Spain, Colombia, and India. It's our desire to reach every people group who call Andorra home, and it's our goal this term to see a strong international church established for His glory.
Long before we went, prayer teams organized by missionaries had gone before us, praying that God would send forth laborers into this beautiful nation. We know that God is with us.
And we are already seeing Him at work. Our first service, we had our family and six others in attendance. We began building relationships and teaching Bible studies. And our one-year anniversary service, we had 24 in attendance. People are receiving the Holy Ghost, and for the first time ever, to our knowledge, people are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in this nation.
The name of Jesus is being proclaimed.
Light is piercing the darkness.
Seeds are being sown in a new harvest field.
Hope is being shared with the people of Andorra.
The mission of the UPCI is the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. And it's because of congregations like you who make that mission possible.
We want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your prayers and financial support. Together we can awaken Andorra.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. It is so good to be here with all of you today. Such a sweet presence of the Lord. Thank you, praise team, for leading us today into the presence of God. I'm thankful we don't serve a God that's afar off, but He's as close as the mention of His name. He came to redeem us, to have a relationship with us, to give us the hope of glory. And that's the hope that we want to share with the people of Spain and Andorra. And just don't ever want to take His presence for granted. There's a world out there that needs to know and experience the power and the presence of God that we feel in this place today. And so I do want to say thank you so much to Brother and Sister Arthur for having us, for your work in global missions. We appreciate it so much. Give honor to Bishop and Sister Arthur, veteran missionaries. Appreciate your labor in the kingdom of God. You guys have paved the way for revival that we're seeing around the world today. And so we appreciate you guys. And I do want to say, give you a little update to that video. We made that video about a year ago, and our goal in Spain was to double the churches by the end of 2020. And I do want to report that we did meet that goal. We now have 94 churches in the nation of Spain, and we give God praise for that. Amen. And yes. And the awesome part is that 12 of those churches were started in the year 2020. In a year of strict lockdown and quarantine in the nation of Spain, God is still moving. People began to have services in their home. We saw people receive the Holy Ghost over Zoom calls, people being baptized in bathtubs. And so we're thankful we're not part of a weak church, but we're part of a strong church, a victorious church, and God is still moving. Appreciate you guys allowing the Spirit to move today. Thank you for just having church today. It feels good. And we are so thankful. We want to ask that you would go with us in prayer for the nation of Andorra. We do have some prayer bookmarks on the table in the back. Pick one up. They're free. Stick it in your Bible, wherever you'll remember to pray for us and the work there. Our mission for Andorra is awaken Andorra. And the Bible says, knowing the times, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer than we believed. And we do believe the Lord is coming soon, and I'm looking forward to that day when we see Him face to face, when He calls us home. But we do have an urgency in our spirits to wake up, to reach as many as we can with this apostolic message. And so we do ask that you would pray for us and the work there. I do want to say quickly, thank you for giving to offerings like Cheese for Christ and Mother's Memorial. Those bless missionaries so much. Of course, Mother's Memorial helps with appliances, helps scholarships for Bible school students. We are church planners, And we're excited about planting churches across Andorra in Spain, but we can only do so much on our own. But if we can train and equip students in the Bible schools to take this message into their cities, their communities, that's how we're going to see revival. So we thank you when you give to Mother's Memorial. That helps with that. And of course, Young People, She's for Christ, I think now it's Move the Mission. That helps buy vehicles for missionaries. And so when you give to that, it helps us literally put wheels on the gospel to take this message around the world, places that we couldn't reach on our own. So thank you for that. And so we appreciate this church, all you do for missions. We do have some things on the table for sale. Anything that you purchase will help with our projects. We are raising right now our airfare project. We need about $4,800 to complete that. And that seems like a big chunk, but every little bit helps towards that so we can get back to our nation of our calling. And so thank you for all you do. And of course, you can partner with us on a monthly basis as well. We appreciate this church. God bless you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Oh, I will bless you, Lord. Your praise will always be forever in my mouth, forever on my lips. Sing it again. Say, I will bless you, Lord. Your praise will always be forever in my mouth, forever on my lips. Por siempre, oh Señor, te bendeciré con mi corazón. Yo te cantaré. Por siempre, oh Señor, te bendeciré con mi corazón. Yo te cantaré.
Te bendeciré. Te bendeciré. Por siempre. Por siempre.
Amen. Is that how you feel?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. In the good times, I'm going to bless his name. And the bad times, I'm going to praise him as well. Amen. Hallelujah. At all times. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you would like to go with me, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. To the book of, let's see here. Let me pull this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Beginning in verse 17. Amen. Again, thank you for allowing us to come and to worship with you today. Amen. Hopefully we can be a blessing, amen, to you this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The scripture says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Everyone says to us. Say to us. It's you and me. God has given us, amen, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now we, everybody say we. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I want to preach on this subject, this topic, amen, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your spirit that we feel in this place. We ask you that you would anoint my lips, Lord. Lord, I pray that your word would speak through me, amen, not just touch our ears, Lord, but reach our hearts today. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say it, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. In Jesus' name. The philosophy of this world is that man is capable of self-reformation. That's the thinking of this world, that men in general are basically good at their core, And so all we really need is proper motivation. Amen. Thank you. Proper motivation, we can continually improve ourselves until we reach some level of perfection. That's the thinking behind this world. And so we have adopted that idea just by living in this world. And we think of ourselves as good people, right? We were good people and we finally gave ourselves over to the Lord. He's lucky to have us. You know? This concept of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, that's kind of where that comes from. You know? Okay, I'll accept you. I mean, you're pretty awesome, and you're my creator, and you died for me. Okay, I'll accept you. Because I'm awesome. Because that's the world's philosophy. We are awesome. Right? Believe in yourself. Right? You've got a hero in you. You know? You are awesome. Because we think we're great. But the Bible says that there are no good people. I hate to bust your bubble. The Bible doesn't say you're awesome. The Bible says that we're sinners. One guy came to Jesus and said, you know, you're good. And Jesus, he said, good master. And he said, Jesus went, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on a second. There is no one that's good. But God. And so, I'm going to fix that right there. There you go. That's going to drive my wife crazy if I didn't. So, I did that for her. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said there are no good people except for one, and that's God. So, we've got to understand, you know, a lot of people think I'm a good person. You know, I don't kill people. Great. You just keep doing that. Thank you for not killing people, because that's the standard, you know. That's, you know, as long as I don't kill somebody, then I'm a good person. You know what I have found by reading books and I'm trying to understand people that's in jail? No matter if you're in jail and you've actually committed the crime, you still think you're a good person. A lot of people still, they want to justify, well, I did it for a good reason. They deserved it. You know, that's our own thinking, is that we are good. But the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Romans 5 maybe even brings it a step further than what we think. Romans 5 and 10 says that before Christ, we were enemies of God. Enemies. I mean, you don't go to your local grocery store and the person that you see down the street, down the aisle, you know, buying groceries, you don't really probably think of them as an enemy of God. I mean, we don't really think of that terms. But the Bible says, Jesus said it like this, if you're not with me, you're against me. So there's only two sides in this war. There's not three or five. There's no neutral zone. Switzerland is in Europe, but it doesn't, it's not in the kingdom of God. There are no neutral zones. You're either on the Lord's side or you're against the Lord. I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be in his presence. I want to be where he's at. You see, God is holy and sin can't enter into his presence. It's like oil and water. It just doesn't mix. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. They had enjoyed fellowship with God, but the effects of their sin resulted in their expulsion from that beautiful place. An estrangement from God now exists. A gulf existed between God and man, and it would no longer be the same. Amen. How it was. There was a gap, but But I'm so glad to tell you I've got good news today. Because the gospel is good news. And I'm glad to tell you that the world, it promotes bad news. And if you watch the news too long, you'll be depressed. But if you come to church, amen, the church has got good news. God was not, he did not want for the condition between him and his creation to stay the same. And so God took the initiative. The Bible says that he was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In other words, he said, I've got to somehow fix this problem that sin created, this estrangement from humanity and divinity. What I'm going to do is become a man. I'm going to be like them, and I will. What I will do is I will represent God to man and man to God, and I will be the mediator between God and man, and I will bridge the gap. Amen. And no longer will they have to be estranged. You don't have to be separated from God any longer. If you go through Jesus Christ, you can get to where you need to go because he's the only answer. He's the only one that could solve the problem because of who he was. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world. The Bible says the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. Dwelt in him bodily. You see, he had to be a man. The only way that he could be our kinsman redeemer, the only way that he could represent a man to God fully is that he had to be a man. So he was. He created a body. Amen. He was born, the Bible says in Galatians, in the fullness of time. Amen. And 1 Timothy 3:16 said, great is this mystery. But we understand because the scriptures was revealed to us. Amen. Jesus Christ revealed it to us. God was manifested in the flesh. God was in Christ. Amen. And through his death on the cross and through his resurrection 3 days later, he was able to reconcile humanity back, amen, to himself. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, amen, but it's according to his grace and his mercy that he saved us. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward, amen, hallelujah, to that day when I see him face to face. Amen. The Bible says it this way. Amen. And so because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus, we are no longer strangers, alienated from his presence. Amen. But now we can walk boldly into the throne of grace. The veil that was separated, the Holy of Holies, amen, was torn when Jesus said it is finished. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and through 21 and 22, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, if you could put that up. You were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You were this, but now you're this. You were enemies, but now you have been reconciled. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Therefore remember that ye, being in times past, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were with God, without God, and you were in the world. We were pretty pitiful. Had no hope. Without God. In the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. You who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You were this, but now you are this. You were estranged, but now you've been reconciled. You were a sinner, but now you're holy. You were going to a place of destruction, but now you're going to a place of safety. You understand, amen, if you don't have a but now moment in your life, something's not right with your Christian experience. I was this, but now I'm this. There's been a change in my life. There's been an absolutely and entirely new. I've been made a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. How do we become reconciled to God? We do so by obeying, the scripture which said you must be born again. The only way you are become a new creature is that you have to be born into this. You can't think it. This is not a mental thing. This is not something you can conjure up. This is not something that you can do on your own. I wasn't born on my own in the flesh. Neither can I be born on my own in the spirit. That which was born of flesh is flesh. That which was born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again. I need to be a new creature. And this is how I am a new creature. I go down in the water. I'm baptized in his name. The scripture says that we are born again of water and of spirit. I lift up my hands with a repentant heart, and God fills me with his spirit. I am born again. I am a new creature. I have been reconciled to God. Does anybody remember the day? Can anybody say this is what I once was, but now I'm this? I was once this, but now I'm this. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once a sinner going to hell, but now I'm on my way to glory. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. And we can get so excited, and you should. You should get excited when we talk about salvation. If you can't say I once was, but now I am, you ain't a Christian. You ain't got it. And if you can't get excited about what I just said, you need to come and repent, because you ain't gonna make it. Because you ain't saved. If something doesn't well up within you when we talk about this is who I once was, and I'm no longer that person. God has changed me. God has saved me. God has made me new. I'm no longer the same. You need to come to this altar before we get done. You need to repent of your sins. Amen. Because something should well up within our spirits and our souls that says, this is who I was. But I'm no longer that. I want us just to get excited about that. I want us to shout, and I want us to dance about that. I want us to thank God for his salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Amen. Born again, that idea of being born again kind of comes with a connotation that when we're born again, we are now babes in Christ. There's a growing process that is involved in this spiritual walk. And that growing process means that eventually I stop just being a baby. And a baby, all a baby does is consume. The best you can get out of a newborn on a good day is a smile. They don't clean their room. They don't fix dinner. They don't go out and get a job and make some money. I mean, the only thing we really expect from a baby is a smile, maybe a laugh. Oh, if we could just get them to laugh, that they've done their job. But there comes a time when the baby grows up and we start expecting more from the baby. Eventually, they learn to walk. Eventually, they learn to talk. Eventually, they learn, we give them more responsibilities until finally we kick them out of the nest and say, it's time for you to go and be your own man, your own woman. It's time to grow up. That's what God is calling each and every one of us to be, mature saints of God. That is not just about consumption. Bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. But somewhere along the line of maturity, we want to start producing. We want to start expanding our horizons. We want to start going to where God is calling us and leading us. And to not just be excited about being reconciled to God, but being a part of the reconciliation process with someone else. Do you hear what I'm saying? The scripture says we are his ambassadors. Amen. You see, I've been reconciled to God. Amen. But you got to understand this. It's not enough just for me to be reconciled. God is calling me in the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means I get to play a part and the salvation of others. I don't understand it. It blows my mind when I think about it. But God uses human beings. I don't get it. I mean, if you read the scriptures, you find where human beings mess things up. I mean, even the best of us tend to mess it up. So why? Why does God use us? And to be honest, I still haven't found the right answer. I don't know why God uses us. He just likes to. He likes to partner with humanity. I think it was said earlier, he does things by himself. He did a few things by himself. He did two things by himself. He did creation by himself, and he did the cross by himself. Because we couldn't do that. We couldn't create and we couldn't die for the sins of the world. But in every other case, God partners with humanity. That's what the Bible is all about. He calls out Abraham. He calls out Moses. He calls out Noah. He calls out people to get involved in the process. And people mess things up and it gets a little messy. But you know what? That's how God likes to operate. He likes to work through people. He likes to work through people like you and me, just ordinary people who doesn't really, you know, have a lot, amen, to offer. But he says, you know what? I'm going to work through you, amen, so I will receive the glory, amen. If I work through perfect people, if I work through good people, if I work through the people that have it all together, they would take the glory, amen. But I don't work through those kind of people. I work through people who recognize and understand that we are not good on our own. We must be reconciled to God. And he says, I want to partner with you. I want to partner with you. We see this in the scriptures. I know that time is getting by. I want to hurry along. Amen. We see this as a great example in Acts 8, 9, and 10. And I don't have a lot of time to really get into depth into this like I would like to. But I just want to point this out. Acts 8, 9, and 10. There's three stories that really present this in a way that we should understand. Acts chapter 8. A man by the name of Philip is in Samaria. He's preaching the gospel. Things are going great. Revival. Angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. It was the angel of the Lord. It's pretty clear the direction that he needed to go. And he went. But in my mind, I'm thinking, if I was Philip, maybe I would have said this. Well, I don't want to go to the desert. We're having revival here in Samaria. Things are good in Samaria. I like it in Samaria. It's not a bad place to live. Going to the desert's hard. You got to get a camel if I can afford one. You know, if not, I have to walk, and that's no fun either. It's hot. But okay, I'll go. That's probably not what Philip did. He probably was like, okay, I'm going. He didn't question. It takes a lot of work and effort to go, to move, to gather belongings, to get to where God wants us to go, to meet someone who needs to hear the gospel. Here comes Philip. And he comes across a man, he's an Ethiopian man, and he's in a chariot, and he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip's like, do you understand what you're reading? And this is what the Ethiopian says. Acts chapter 8 and verse 31. Acts 8 and 31, if you could put that up there. Acts 8 and 31, how can I? Except a man should guide me. What about the angel? Is it just me? Has anybody else thought about this? What about the angel in Acts chapter 8? Why couldn't he have told and saved Philip all that trouble? And it would make a whole lot more efficiency. It makes sense. Because God doesn't use angels in that way. God uses people. Humans, unless a man should guide me. You see, Philip's been reconciled to God. Philip has a relationship with God. And now it's Philip's turn to introduce God and the fullness of truth to this other man. An angel's not going to do it. Only humanity has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Only humanity. Humans reaching out to other humans, connecting God and humanity together. The ministry of reconciliation, bringing someone to God. Acts chapter 9, same thing happens. It's Jesus himself, this time speaks in a supernatural way to the Saul of Tarsus. He's going to Damascus. And what does Jesus himself do? He says, go into the city, and I'm going to send you a man to tell you what you need to do. That's Acts 9 and 6. Acts 9 and 6. You know, that's funny to me. Why didn't Jesus just tell him what to do? He had his attention. I mean, he had a direct line with Jesus himself speaking very clearly to Saul of Tarsus. But Jesus said, that's not my ministry any longer. Amen. I was in Christ. I came. But now I'm giving the ministry to humans. They're going to work with me. They're going to partner with me to reach. And Ananias comes, knocks on Saul's door and says, Brother Saul, I have come. I have come. God has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It took a man. You know, I just think it would be easier for us to all just pray, God, save them all. And we're done. We go eat McDonald's. Right? That's not how God operates. He says, I want to get involved, but I want you involved with me in the process of saving others. next chapter, and then I've got to hurry because time is passing. Same thing happens in Acts chapter 10. Angel of God comes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a good man. He prays, he gives alms. Man, he's faithful. He loves God. His prayers have actually come up to God as a sweet-smelling savor to God. God loves this guy. He favors, he honors this guy. And what does God do? He sends an angel and says, tell him that he needs to call for a man by the name of Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you need to do. Now, this is what I pray. I pray, God, wake him up, stir him up, send your angels out, speak to their hearts, bring them to us. Certainly is a good prayer. We need to be willing to go to where they're at, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. Amen. God, wake them up spiritually and supernaturally. But at the end of the day, it is I, it is you, it is us that opens up the scriptures and says, this is what it takes to be saved. I want to be one that's God's ambassador. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who is sent out from the home country to represent God in a foreign field. And when they are on that field, when they speak with the authority of their government. Because we are now in a new kingdom. If you've been born again, you've entered into a new kingdom. And your king now is sending us out to all the world. And he's not willing, amen, to just leave us hanging. He said, I will give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses in all the world. He's given us power. He's given us authority. We are his ambassadors here on this earth. Amen. To represent our king. To represent the government of the kingdom of God. And when we go out into this world. Amen. We don't have to put our heads down and say we're a poor, pitiful Pentecostal. And we don't put our noses in the air and think we're better than everybody else. But we can walk with authority and with power. Amen. Because God has given us the power when he gave us his spirit, and he said it's our job, our mission, to go out to the schools, to go out to our jobs, to go out to our neighborhoods, to go out to our families, and our communities, and our cities, and our towns, amen, to represent him, and say, hey, God has given me a ministry of reconciliation. If I've been reconciled, you can be reconciled too. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good verse. Romans 10 and 13. That's a good verse. But how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe of him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. We've got to go. I know I'm a missionary, and I know that we have literally gone to another country. But that does not mean you can't be a missionary too. Certainly you could go to another country, to another land, learn a new language, and all of that. But we are missionaries here in our own backyards. We are still God's ambassadors. We represent a spiritual heavenly kingdom. And I want to encourage you today, amen, to be what God is calling you to be. Be his ambassador. Be his representative. Get involved in the ministry of reconciliation. when you come and you talk to someone on the job and you're reading your Bible and he's like, what are you reading? Take some time. Pray for open doors in your homes and your communities and your families, your friends' lives. Pray for open doors, amen, so I can share the gospel with someone else. Why don't we stand here today? There are two other aspects of this ministry that I would like to mention at the conclusion. I don't have a lot of time to get into it, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, if your brother offends you, let me read this right so I don't make this mess up. He says, if you know that your brother has aught against you, this is what you need to do. Before you come to the altar, remember about that. Go to your brother and be reconciled to your brother first. I want so bad to meet new people and show them and be involved in the ministry of reconciliation by introducing God for the first time to people. The ministry of reconciliation goes beyond those who in the future have never seen the Lord. It's in the present with those that are right here, right now. God is calling us to a ministry of being reconciled to our brother in the present. And then there's another scripture that talks about in Galatians that if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore that one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, unless you be also tempted. So I want to reach for those who have never come. I want to be reconciled with my brothers here in the sanctuary and in the church. And if there's anyone who's walked away, I also want to be involved in that too. Brother, sister, you're still my brother. You may have walked away. You may not be living for God like he wants you to. But is there a way that I can help you get restored? I want to be involved in that ministry. Praying for those and loving those and being a part of those lives that they don't have it. They fell. They messed up. But we aren't supposed to judge them and look down upon them. We're supposed to restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, because guess what? You could fall too. I want to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Is there anybody else that feels this way? Is there anybody else that says, you know what? It doesn't have to be just about me anymore. I want to be involved in helping someone else. I want to be involved in blessing others. I want to be involved in seeing others have a walk and a relationship with God. God can use you. Yes, he can. If you're willing to allow God to move in your life, God can use you. God wants to use you. God desires to use you. He desires, amen, for you to be involved to us. The scripture says to us. He's been given. Can we take a few moments and pray? Pray for our community. Pray for Richmond. Pray for your county. Pray for your family. Pray for those who may have walked away. Pray. Let's stand in the gap today. Let's be a part of bringing people together. The Bible says that God hates the spirit of division, but he loves the spirit of unity. He loves it when we come together to worship him, to bring others to him. Can we take a few moments? I want to encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart, amen, to come around these altars, to pray, to intercede on behalf of someone else today. Don't come and say, God, fix my knee, touch my knee, bless me. I want to encourage you to come and pray on behalf of someone else. Lord, let me be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Let me be the one to help others be saved, be touched, be healed, be blessed. Can we pray? Oh, I know we can pray for ourselves, but can we pray for someone else? Can you pray for that lost loved one? Can you pray for that person on the job? Can you pray and say, God, open up the doors. Let me be a light. Let me be a witness. Amen. Why don't we do that right now? Hallelujah. As we sing, why don't we take some time and pray for our communities, pray for our friends. Hallelujah. Lord, use me. Lord, I'm willing.